here. And this morning, this message, is your faith a casual or committed faith? And so this is one of those, I guess, messages that I guess, like in most, if the shoe fits, wear it. And so I don't mean to make anybody upset, but anyway, if you have your Bibles, we're going to just start from Mark the 8th chapter, the 34th verse. We'll read a couple others, but this is Mark the 8th chapter. And it says, "In calling the crowd to him with his disciples," this is Jesus, "he said to them, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" Father God, this morning, I pray that it's on everybody's hearts to follow you, to want to follow you, obediently following you, to serve you, giving all that we have, all that we're worth. We wouldn't be here on this rock you created unless you placed us here. So, Father, I pray that we would do as you've called us to do. I ask that you would guide my words this morning. You know my heart. In your name I pray. Amen. I viewed this sign that said, this cartoon, it showed this building. She would show this building. It's called the Light Church. The Light, L-I-T-E, Church. On its billboard, it said 24% less, fewer commitments. Home of the 7.5% tithe, you know, instead of the 10% tithe. This is the home of the 7.5% tithe. 15-minute sermons. Wow, I thought I might hear an amen on that, but... Okay, so 50-minute sermons, total service length 45 minutes, and the church says we only have 8 commandments, and you get to choose which ones that you want. The Light Church. Everything you wanted in a church, and less. I think far too many people have that kind of relationship. They have that relationship with the Lord. There's 3 words that seem, I just want to share with you, throw out. There's these words that define many people in their relationship with God. It's being casual, being convenient, and being way too comfortable. Convenient being suitable to one's comfort, purpose, and needs. The faith of many is driven by convenience and falls when challenged to true discipleship. If it's convenient for me to do that, then I will, but don't expect me to go out of my way. Come on. And then there's that comfortability. Comfort. We want to meet in air-conditioned buildings in the summertime, and we definitely want a warm place in the winter months. But heaven forbid we should ever be made to feel uncomfortable. Asked to do something that we're not comfortable with doing. Have you ever done that? I'm kind of like in that season right now. I'm not really comfortable with something. But I know that it's something that Father wants me to do. God's called me to do. regardless of how uncomfortable it makes me feel. There's nothing casual, convenient, or comfortable about true discipleship. We are to keep on denying yourself, keep on taking up the cross, keep on following me. This is not a decision of the moment, but the direction of a lifetime. Not just when you feel comfortable or convenient to follow him, but make it a lifestyle. Make it a lifelong commitment. For some, it's really not too appealing. It just doesn't kind of fit. Jesus gives us motive, which should move us into this direction. It says in Mark 8, the next verse, 35, it says, "For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, for the gospel, will save it." So let's look at this first little piece in here as we start to unwrap this. There is a denial you must embrace, denying himself. Self-denial is the bedrock of discipleship. When Jesus speaks of self-denial, he's not merely speaking of denying yourself of a pleasure, okay? He's not necessarily saying, I don't want you to be comfortable or that you're giving up something like during this season for those who honor Lent, you know, that they're like, okay, I'm not going to eat meat for the next 40 days or I won't drink soda or so whatever that might be, all right? Jesus is telling us that we no longer can be the center of our lives. It can't be about us. That's a big thing because it always seems to be about us. Me, me, me. You have to understand Jesus is never concerned about what we do so much as what we are. He is not talking about giving up luxuries or even necessities, but denying self, which is entirely different. Dying self means that we renounce our rights to ourselves, our right to run our own lives. We deny that we own ourselves. We do not have the final right to decide what we are going to do or what we're to say or where we're to go or what we are doing. When it's stated in those terms, it sounds kind of outrageous, doesn't it? You mean, I don't get to have the final say so? It's my life. I should have the final say so. It just strikes the heart of our existence. The one thing that we value, the thing that we covet, the one thing we protect. Anything else, even the right to make the decisions. These decisions are to be made by our Heavenly Father, not us. Paul says, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. For you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." If you're going to follow Jesus, you no longer own yourself. Self-denial to follow Christ, no matter the cost involved, you are to deny self. You're just not to say it's about me. there's a mom, she was preparing this breakfast meal. She was making French toast. And the boys were all jazzed up, like, yay, we're having French toast. But then they began to argue about who would get the first slice of French toast. Like, no, me, no, no. I want the first slice. And the mom, seeing that this was a moment to speak into their lives, she said to them, if Jesus was here, what do you think he would do? Jesus would probably say, give my brother the first slice. So the oldest brother, being kind of quick, said to the younger brother, okay, you're Jesus, I'm your brother, give me the first slice. That's the problem, isn't it? We want everyone else to deny themselves, but Christ is calling us to life, to a life of self-denial. It's not easy. We have all things we want. We have goals, but Christ is clear that when we choose to follow him, we must deny ourselves. It means you can't always do what you want to do, which we have a natural tendency to do. No, we want to do, I always think about when Jesus is walking right there on the shore and says, hey, come on, guys, follow. Forget your boats. Forget the fishing gig. Follow me. And they did. Just like they denied. They said, that's all right. We're denying what we want for ourselves. I was in a conversation with an individual this week, and you know, we're wanting to do things ourselves. We want things for ourselves, the things that would make us feel good. I was asked, because some of us have come back, lived a life with some bad habits and have come through them, and some of us are still working on them, you know. And so I was asked if smoking cigarettes was a sin, and you know what? As hard as I looked in the Bible, it didn't say smoking cigarettes were a sin. But what it does say, it says when we're supposed to deny ourselves, it says that we are a temple. This right here is a temple. God resides here in this. And so when I had this habit of chewing tobacco, Copenhagen, and I was like, okay, you know, I'm like, I was going to church, I have my tin, you know, little circle in the back of my jean pocket, you know, and you know, I'd pop open a can, and somebody said, oh, JR, you dip Copenhagen? I'm like, yeah, and you know, what's to you? It's not like I'm smoking and everybody's inhaling, but. But they're like, wow, okay. And they're like, all right. And so then it just made me think a little bit. And it drew me back to this text where it says that he is a temple, that this is a temple where he resides. He hangs out here. So does he want to hang out in a temple with a bunch of spit cans in it? I don't know if you've ever knocked over one of those things. Nasty. And if you know what I'm talking about, right? Or a temple filled with ashtrays and cigarette butts. Do you think that's where the Lord wants to reside? Listen, I'm not trying to beat anybody up, okay? But our bodies do not belong to us. They belong to Him. Okay. We have to face through some life-changing decisions. These decisions need to be decisions that are in the shadow of the cross, not the desires of the heart. This doesn't mean that you'll be deprived. People are like saying, oh man, if I could do that, then I won't have any fun. And hear me, he's not trying to deprive you of fun. He's want to give you fulfillment. Fun will last for a season. Fulfillment will last for a long, long time. To be fulfilled? Oh, that beats fun, hands down. Denial of self is placing yourself in the hands of God all the times. All the time. All the time. No matter where he may lead you. Secondly, there is death you must experience. Take up his cross. When Jesus said, take up your cross, the day wasn't a beloved symbol of the day. Don't get me wrong. The cross and its symbol. The cross. We have to recognize, I think we should recognize the cross for what it is. It was an implement. It was a device that where people were put on. It was a death sentence. If you got put on the cross, it wasn't pretty. And it was never designed to be pretty. And I don't think back in the day they ever thought that tool would ever be put on a gold chain and hung on our necks. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong. Okay. But we need to recognize what the cross is. Because if we really did recognize what that symbol is, it would be the same as if everybody who were wearing crosses took and started wearing an electric chair. Doesn't sound too appealing, does it? Wearing an electric chair around your neck. Ouch, JR, I think you've just gone too far. But it's the same thing. So what does it mean to bear the cross? Let's first consider what bearing the cross is not. Bearing the cross is not when you're facing circumstance. And people say that when they're going through a circumstance, like, yeah, well, this is my cross to bear. Right? They say it just like that. This is my cross to bear. All solemn. And it's usually because of circumstances and situations. Given the choice, they didn't choose it. Okay? Key word. They didn't choose it. And it's not to say or to make light of any of these circumstances, whatever they may be, because they may be weighty. But the bottom line is, when we talk about bearing the cross, there's a difference when there's situations. And the big difference is saying, I choose to bear that cross. Night and day difference. You're choosing. You're choosing that uncomfortability. That bearing the cross is a choice. It is a voluntary form of sacrificial obedience that identifies us completely with Jesus. Bearing our cross is something we deliberately take up and bear. We don't usually like that. For many, just rather just wear the cross instead of just pick it up. Committed follows
listen, committed followers are cross bearers. Casual followers seek an easy way. Committed followers dare to discipline themselves. Casual followers are looking for spiritual growth shortcuts. Committed followers seek holiness. Casual followers seek happiness. Committed followers seek to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Casual followers seek an emotional lift. Committed followers seek to please God in all they do. Committed followers seek to please God in all they do. Casual followers live as close to the edge as they can. Committed followers have their sight on going to heaven someday. Casual followers are just doing whatever they can not to go to hell. Committed followers say, what ministry can I help do in my local congregation? Casual followers say, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of the deal? And I wish I could laugh at that. But it's not funny, and I've seen it. And how I know that must hurt my father's heart when his children are being casual about their commitment to him. Casual about their relationship with him. Lastly, there's a direction you must ensue following him. I honestly believe that there's a lot of people who believe in Christ. They see Christ and they can kind of wrap their heads around Christ. But they're not seeing a lot of authentic Christ followers. Well, I'm not saying that there aren't any out there. I am not. It's just that the world doesn't see enough of us. And for those who say that they're Christian and they're being very casual about it, they're like, so what's the big deal? what's the big deal? I see more commitment in a Girl Scout troop. Just saying. I think many have become quite happy to call themselves Christians with little or no thought of really following Christ. As followers, we are to duplicate, we are to replicate the love and the grace and the compassion that our Heavenly Father has given to us. The same love that He's poured out on you. And I trust that that those of you who are here this morning and those who are within my hearing on this recording, that the love of Jesus Christ that you have received, that you would say, I just can't keep this all inside. I can't. I've got to share this with somebody. My walk in my life, it's got to display nothing but the love of Jesus Christ and His grace and His compassion. When people see that, they're like, wow, that That person sold out for God. I wonder what they had to give up. And I think if we quit thinking about what we have to give up and look at what we have to gain, I think that would just change our mindset. Quit worrying about what you're going to lose. You haven't lost anything. You can't take any of this mess here on this earth with you. Quit worrying about what you're going to lose and think of all of what you have to gain, what waits for you. What's that song? Raining down, raining from above on a throne of love. What a mighty God we serve. That's just old hymn song there.
We were created to follow. Christ calls us to follow him. Not by some special creed or ritual or some type of handshake. But to follow him wherever he leads us. Follow Christ. Following Christ is a relationship that drives and defines all and who we are. When we are committed, there will be some challenging times. It's just like, you know, those of us who have been married for a couple of days. You know, oh, I love you. And then you're like, oh, boy, what in the world is going on here? And wives, don't take it easy on the husband's ribs right now, okay? Just. But there's something about being committed. There's something about denying yourself, because that's the important key in a marriage, saying it's all about my spouse and not all about me. Because when we have that attitude, that's when there's relationship. That's when there's relationship. Let me close. In closing, I want to answer a question you are probably asking yourselves. Why? Why? Why should I do all of this? Denial, death, and direction aren't exactly words that motivate us, are they? I'll answer your question in one brief statement, because he did it for you. Jesus denied his own rights. Jesus could have said, I can't fathom him saying this, but he could have said, what? This is just JR, okay? What? Are you kidding me? Dad, leave where I'm at right now and go down there and hang out with them people? Yeah, I know we created, but they're a mess. You want me to go down there and be with them? Yes, son. And then you want me to walk with them, talk with them? Yes, son. And you want me to jump up on a, well, you want me to allow myself to hang on a tree? To be crucified like some common criminal? Yes, son. And Jesus displays the most ultimate sacrifice, that of saying, denying himself and saying, okay, Father. There's something to be said when somebody will deny what they want, even when they know it will cost them their life for you. My question this morning that only you and you alone can answer. Will you be a committed child of God or a casual one? Will you please stand?